All right, everyone, let's dive into something that's been generating a ton of buzz lately. LLMs and coding. But, you know, we're not just here to skim the surface. We want to go deeper, beyond the hype, and really understand how these things are actually changing the game for developers.
That's right. And to help us navigate this rapidly evolving world, we're diving deep into leveraging LLMs for coding, insights, and real-world experiences.
Love the title. So who's the voice behind this? Give us the lowdown.
This isn't just some theoretical deep dive. Our guide for this is Chris Erickson. He's a developer who's been in the trenches, seen it all.
An aging coder, he calls himself, right? Which, honestly, makes his perspective even more valuable. He's seen trends come and go, so he probably has a good sense of what's really revolutionary and what's just, you know, hype.
Exactly. He's not easily swayed by the latest shiny object. So when Erickson says that LLMs are fundamentally changing how he approaches coding, we should probably pay attention.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What kind of changes are we talking about? What's got him so fired up?
Well, one of the big takeaways is that LLMs are changing the way we deal with the, let's call it the less glamorous side of coding. And by that, I mean all those repetitive tasks, the stuff that makes you question your life choices.
Oh, I feel that.
Wow.
Deeply. How many hours have I wasted wrestling with data format conversions when I should be focusing on, you know, the actual logic of the problem? It's like being stuck in traffic on your way to something exciting. You know you'll get there eventually, but it's just...
Precisely. And that's where Erickson sees the real magic happening. He talks about using LLMs for everything from, like, auto-generating boilerplate code to even doing some basic code translation. But, and this is crucial, he's also very upfront about the limitations he's encountered along the way.
Oh, there are always limitations.
Yeah.
Spill the tea. What kind of roadblocks is he running into?
Why the big ones, and he brings this up quite a bit, is the whole context window issue. Basically, LLMs have a limited amount of information they can keep in mind at once, and this can be a real pain point when you're working on a larger, more complex project.
Right. It's like trying to make sense of a movie by watching a few frames at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You might pick up some details, but you're missing the whole narrative arc. So how does this actually work? Is this like a technical limitation of the technology itself?
It is, yeah. Without getting too deep into the weeds, LLMs rely on these things called attention mechanisms. Basically, it's how they decide which parts of the code are most important to focus on at any given time. But these mechanisms have their limits. And when you hit those limits, that's when you start seeing inconsistencies, errors, that sort of thing.
So it's not that the LLM's dumb or anything. It's just got a really powerful short-term memory, but it struggles with the long game.
Exactly. Now, another area where Erickson gets really excited is in the world of test-driven development. Imagine being able to offload all that initial test generation to an LLM.
Okay, that's huge. I mean, no developer actually enjoys writing those basic unit tests, right? It's important, sure, but it can feel like such a grind.
Right. And what Erickson has found is that LLMs can actually be surprisingly good at generating those foundational tests, which frees him up to focus on the really hairy edge cases and complex scenarios that truly challenge the code.
Which are, let's be honest, the tests that really matter. Anyone can write a test for the happy path. It's when things get messy that you need those rock-solid tests to save you. Did Erickson mention any downsides to this whole using LLMs for testing thing?
He did specifically call out some challenges with GitHub Copilot, especially when it came to mixing up different testing frameworks.
Oh, yikes. That's the kind of time saver that could backfire spectacularly if you're not careful.
Totally. Again, it kind of circles back to that context window issue. The LLM might see a certain testing library mentioned somewhere in your code base and try to use that, even if it's not the one you've chosen for that particular project. So, you know, it's not a magic bullet, but it's definitely a step in an interesting direction.
Right. Still needs a human at the helm, making sure it doesn't go off the rails.
Mm.
Okay, what else did Erickson highlight? This is good stuff.
Well, this whole idea of LLMs handling the grunt work led Erickson to another really intriguing observation, the impact on documentation.
Oh, documentation.
Yeah.
Every developer's best friend. Or worst nightmare, depending on how diligent you are.
It's the coding equivalent of washing the dishes. Essential, but nobody wants to do it.
And like washing dishes, it's way easier to keep up with it than to tackle a mountain of dirty dishes after they've piled up for weeks.
100%. And that's where Erickson found LLMs to be game changers. He raves about using them to, you know, generate doc blocks, inline comments, basically everything stays in sync, which is just a dream for collaboration, especially when you've got a fast-moving project.
So it's like having a dedicated documentation fairy who magically make sure everything's accurate and up to date.
Exactly. It takes a lot of the mental load off, which is huge.
This is already blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Tell me more about how Ericsson's putting these LLMs to work.
All right. So he's not content just sticking to his comfort zone. Ericsson's actually using LLMs to branch out and become a more, what he calls a polyglot programmer. Basically, he wants to be able to code in a bunch of different languages without having to spend years mastering each one.
Ooh, that's interesting. It's like having a crash course on demand. Tell me more.
Yeah, so he talks about using LLMs to help him write code in languages he doesn't use every day, you know? Like, he gave examples like Bash scripts, Ruby for puppet configurations, even Docker files.
Okay, that's impressive. It's one thing to, like, get help with syntax in a language you're not familiar with, but this is next-level stuff. But there's got to be more to it than just, like, spitting out code in different languages, right?
Mm.
What about things like knowing the right libraries to use? Or even just understanding how to write code that actually feels right in that language.
You're spot on. Ericsson actually calls this writing idiomatic code. It's not just about knowing the commands. It's about using them in a way that's natural to that language. You know, like you've been speaking it fluently for years.
Give me an example. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this.
Sure. So let's say you're working with Python, right? You could probably write Python code that technically works, but looks really clunky and awkward to someone who's fluent in Python. They might use, say, a list comprehension where you've written a whole multi-line loop. It gets the job done, but it just doesn't feel right. It's about style and convention just as much as it is about functionality.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
So
how do LLMs actually help with this whole idiomatic code thing? Are they really learning the nuances of all these different programming languages?
That's what's so fascinating, because they're trained on these massive data sets of code, right? So they're starting to pick up on these subtle differences in how languages are actually used in the wild. And that means they can often suggest code snippets that not only work, but actually look like they were written by a seasoned pro in that language.
That's kind of wild. It's like having a built-in style guide, making sure your code doesn't scream newbie, even if you're just dipping your toes into any language. Okay, this is all super impressive, but I also know there's got to be a but coming, right? Ericsson seems like a pretty level-headed guy. What are some of the limitations he's bumping up against?
He is. He's very clear that LLMs are tools, and like any tool, they've got their limitations. One of the big ones, and we've touched on this a bit already, is the whole big picture problem. LLMs are amazing at these smaller, self-contained tasks, but when you throw them at a massive, sprawling code base, that's where they can struggle to keep up.
Right. That context window issue rears its ugly head again. It's like trying to put together one of those giant 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzles, but you can only see, like, a handful of pieces at a time. Good luck getting the whole picture.
Exactly. And so because of this, LLMs can sometimes generate code that, like, works perfectly fine in isolation. But then when you try to integrate it into a larger system, it all falls apart. They might miss dependencies or misunderstand the overall architecture or even introduce these really subtle bugs that are a nightmare to track down.
So not quite ready to replace human architects just yet. We still need those big picture thinkers who can, you know, see the forest for the trees.
Absolutely. And another limitation that Ericsson points out is that LLMs really struggle with what you might call custom code, you know, those internal libraries or custom functions, or just plain weird workarounds that every project seems to accumulate over time.
Oh, tell me about it. Every code base I've ever worked on has had its share of, we don't talk about that code. Like, it works, but nobody's really sure how.
Exactly. And this is where LLMs really stumble. They haven't been trained on your specific code base, so they don't have that insider knowledge. Ericsson gives a great example of, like, a custom authentication library that his company uses.
Yeah.
An LLM might be able to generate code that, like, interacts with that library on a basic level, but it probably won't understand all the specific quirks and edge cases that the original developers had to account for.
So it's like asking a chef who's used to working with, like, standardized ingredients to suddenly whip up a dish using some bizarre, never-before-seen vegetable. They might be able to make something edible, but good luck with that.
Perfect analogy. And this leads to another really interesting point that Ericsson raises, which is the evolving role of tools like GitHub Copilot. He's been using it pretty extensively, and he's seen it go through some major changes.
Yeah. Copilot seems to be everyone's favorite example of LLMs in action these days. What's Ericsson's take on how it's changed?
He's noticed it becoming much more context aware, like to the point where it's starting to feel less like a glorified autocomplete tool and more like an actual coding partner.
Okay, coding partner implies a certain level of trust, even a reliance. Is he at that point with Copilot? Like, is he ready to let it drive?
He's cautiously optimistic, I'd say. He's definitely impressed by how much more context-aware Copilot has become, but he's also run into situations where it, you know, trips up, especially in those really big projects or when he's working with a language or a framework that's changing really rapidly.
Makes sense. The software development world moves so fast, it's got to be hard for even these advanced LLMs to keep up with every single update and change.
Yeah.
What kinds of issues has he run into?
He's mentioned, you know, running into situations where Copilot suggests syntax that's like slightly outdated, or running into version conflicts where the code Copilot generates might have worked perfectly fine in a previous version of a library, but now it's broken because things have changed.
I've been there, and it is not fun. It's like following a recipe but realizing halfway through that you're missing a crucial ingredient, or the instructions are just plain wrong. You end up with something that looks kind of like what you wanted, but is ultimately a disaster.
Exactly. It just highlights that as powerful as these tools are, we as developers still need to be super vigilant, right? We can't just blindly accept whatever code an LLM spits out. We need to use our own judgment and experience to make sure it's actually what we need.
So it's a partnership, but one where you don't want to completely let your guard down. You still need to be an active participant, not just passively taking dictation from the machine.
Absolutely. And that kind of gets to the heart of what Erickson is getting at, I think. LLMs are changing the game, yes, but they're not replacing the players. They're tools that can amplify our capabilities, but they don't diminish the need for human expertise and creativity and just that critical eye for detail that makes a good developer great.
This has been super eye-opening. We've covered so much ground, from like LLMs handling those nitty-gritty doc blocks to the challenges they still face with those bigger picture architectural things and that whole custom code issue. So before we move on, what's the overall takeaway from Erickson's experience?
Well, before we wrap up with Erickson's final takeaway, I think it's important to remember that he's still actively using and experimenting with LLMs in his day-to-day work, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not all doom and gloom.
Which is really encouraging to hear. Because, honestly, it would be easy to walk away from this thinking, well, LLMs are neat, but they're not quite ready for prime time. But Erickson seems to have found a way to make them work for him, even with all the limitations.
Precisely. He's embracing the possibilities while still being realistic about the challenges. And one of his main takeaways is that we need to shift our thinking about what these tools really mean for us as developers.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of shift are we talking about? Give me the good stuff.
Well, he argues that LLMs, even with their current limitations, are already pushing us towards higher level thinking and coding.
Ooh, that's interesting. Because if the act of actually writing the code becomes easier, thanks to LLMs taking care of the more mechanical parts, then what does that free us up to focus on?
Exactly. It's kind of like the shift from, say, doing manual calculations to using a calculator, right? Calculators didn't make mathematicians obsolete. They just freed them up to tackle even more complex and interesting problems.
Right. Instead of getting bogged down in the nitty-gritty of arithmetic, they can focus on the bigger picture, mm-hmm. the underlying theories, the more abstract concepts. So you're saying LLMs could have a similar impact on software development.
That's exactly what Erickson is suggesting. He believes that as LLMs become more sophisticated, we, as developers, will be freed up to focus on those higher level aspects of software development. Things like system architecture, user experience, solving really thorny problems that require genuine human ingenuity and creativity.
So it's not about becoming obsolete, it's about leveling up. Our roles as developers might change, but our core skills like critical thinking, problem solving, that creative spark, those become even more valuable in this new landscape.
Precisely. And Erickson even goes so far as to suggest that this shift might even lead to entirely new roles and specializations within software development.
Like what? Give me a glimpse into the future. I love this kind of stuff.
Well, he didn't get into specifics, but it's fascinating to think about, right? Imagine roles focused specifically on training and fine-tuning LLMs for very specific industries or types of software.
Oh, that's interesting. Like an LLM whisperer who understands both the technical side and the domain-specific knowledge to really make these models sing.
Hmm.
But how realistic is that? I mean, training these models requires a massive amount of data and computing power.
You're right. It's not trivial. But it's not outside the realm of possibility either. As the tools and techniques for training LLMs become more sophisticated and accessible, we might very well see a rise in specialization, where developers focus on fine-tuning these models for very specific niches.
That makes sense. It's like any new technology, right? In the early days, you have generalists who are figuring things out.
Mm.
But as the technology matures, you start to see more and more specialization.
Exactly. Or we might see a rise in developers who specialize in building the tools and interfaces that make it easier for, you know, everyday folks to interact with LLMs and leverage their power for coding. After all, not everyone is comfortable with the command line, and even those who are could benefit from more intuitive and visual ways of working with these models.
Now that's a future I can get behind. Imagine being able to build complex software applications using drag-and-drop interfaces powered by LLMs under the hood. It could democratize software development, making it accessible to a far wider range of people.
And that accessibility, as Erickson hints at, might unleash a wave of innovation that we can't even begin to imagine. Because when the barriers to entry for coding are lowered, who knows what amazing ideas and solutions will emerge?
Mind blown. So from automating those mundane tasks to potentially reshaping the entire software development landscape, LLMs are certainly making their presence felt. Any other final thoughts from our resident aging coder before we move on?
He ends on a note of, I'd say, cautious optimism. He acknowledges that there are still plenty of challenges to overcome and that we need to be really thoughtful about the ethical implications of using LLMs in coding. But overall, he seems genuinely excited about the possibilities.
All right, so we've spent a good chunk of time digging into how LLMs are already changing the game for developers like Chris Erickson. But we've also, like, glimpsed into this future where these tools could reshape the entire software development landscape. Pretty wild stuff.
It really is. And Erickson leaves us with a final thought-provoking question that I think is worth sitting with for a bit.
Hit me with it. I'm ready.
Okay, so if LLMs keep evolving, right, if they get even better at handling all the technical nuts and bolts of coding, what new challenges and opportunities open up for developers? What does it even mean to be a software developer in a world where, you know, code can essentially write itself?
Okay, that is a big question.
Yeah.
Makes me think of that old saying, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Are we headed towards a world where LLMs are like the ultimate fishing instructors, and we as developers need to become, I don't know, master chefs of software?
I love that analogy because it highlights that the act of writing code, like, that's just one part of the equation, right? LLMs might be able to crank out code, but they can't replace that human element. The creativity, the problem solving, the ability to really understand what users need and then turn that into something elegant, functional, delightful. Those are the qualities that will define a great developer in the age of LLMs, I think.
So it's not about fearing obsolescence. It's about embracing the potential for these tools to, like, supercharge our own abilities, right? To help us reach further than we could ever go alone.
100%. Think about it. If you're suddenly freed from the mental burden of having to remember every little syntax detail or debugging those annoying edge cases, you've suddenly got all this extra brain power to devote to the really interesting, juicy challenges of software development.
It's like the difference between, like, sketching out a rough design on a napkin and then having a whole team of robots who can meticulously bring that design to life with perfect precision. You still need that initial vision, that creative spark, that human touch to guide the process and make sure the end result is something truly special.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Erickson's experiences, his insights, they all point to the fact that we're at this really fascinating turning point in the history of software development. LLMs are powerful tools, but they are just that. Tools, how we choose to use them, how we adapt and grow alongside them, that's what will ultimately shape the future of this whole field.
This deep dive has been amazing. We went from talking about the nitty-gritty details of LLMs writing doc blocks to, like, pondering the future of what it even means to be a software developer. My mind is officially blown.
And that's what we aim for every time. To go beyond the headlines, to get into those nuanced, sometimes messy details, and hopefully spark some interesting conversations along the way.
Because the best conversations are the ones that keep going even after the episode is over, right?
Yeah.
So to everyone listening, we want to hear from you. How do you see LLMs shaping the future of software development? What has you excited? What has you worried? Keep exploring, keep experimenting, and keep those brains buzzing. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time for another adventure into the ever-changing world of tech.